Hi, this is James Devine, and I am an educator who has come out of the trenches. Listen in as my friend and colleague Dana Goodyear shares stories and tips from other educators who have come out of the trenches.
Welcome to the Out of the Trenches podcast. This is Dana Goodyear. Thanks for listening.
My next guest is Lindsay Titus. Lindsay is a passionate and energetic educator. She uses her expertise as a board-certified behavior analyst and a former classroom teacher to ignite the passion of any educator. She is eager to transform the mindset educators hold about behavior and use this dynamic shift to increase connections with all students. Lindsay is a host of the Define University podcast, founder of Define University, and the author of 30 and 90 Day Journals. She's a coach, speaker, mentor, and leader passionate about igniting the transformation from within to live a life you love inside and outside of the classroom setting. Welcome to the podcast, Lindsay.
Thanks so much, Dana. I'm so excited to be here today.
Well, I'm so glad I have a chance to interview you for the podcast because we've been connected for a while and, you know, as part of your Damn Discovery, which we'll be talking about on the podcast today. But we'll start out with your trench story like I do with everyone. Tell me about a time when you were in the trenches and managed to crawl out.
Absolutely. So in thinking through, you know, and I think probably like most educators, I've had lots of trench stories. But I'm going to share this one today because I think it opens up the conversation I think that we're going to have following it. And so about 5 years ago, I was working for a non-for-profit actually. So one of the things I love about my journey is it's a pretty unconventional route through education. I've worked in public schools, but I've also worked for a residential school. I've worked for a non-for-profit. I've also worked for in-home ABA therapy. So I've done a lot. And about 5 years ago, working for the non-for-profit, I was coordinating our OPWDD department. So I was working really in the community. And we kind of got a sense, I was on the leadership team, and we got this sense and things happen behind closed doors mm-hmm. that something's happening. And we didn't know what, but we knew it wasn't great just by the feel, by the tone, by things going on. And ultimately what we realized is that we were going bankrupt. And as a non-for-profit, that's not good. And so we thought we would have a couple months left. So this was all in the beginning of June. We figured at least we'll have through August and then, you know, gives us time to kind of prepare, find another job, things like that. We came in on a Wednesday later that month. Mm-hmm. We came in on that Wednesday and around midday, we were told Friday we would be closing. So wow. What we thought was 2 months went to 48 hours. We came in on Thursday and found out we were closing that day. Wow. And that we were not going to be paid for the previous month because funds were gone. So here you are, right? Here I am. What do I do? And I'm a leader. I'm leading my department. And so very quickly, I had to shift from it's not about me to how do I help those around me? Mm-hmm. And I think what honestly helped me get out was by helping others. Mm-hmm. Luckily I was able to say, I will be okay. We will be okay. The first conversation I made was to my husband. I was like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? And actually it was his words of, we're going to be okay. Focus on your team. Because he knew how much my team meant to me. Mm-hmm. So I spent the next 48 hours working with my team. We were able to pull together a job fair and we pulled in all the surrounding agencies. And that was my goal, was to make sure my department all had jobs as quickly as they needed them. Mm-hmm. And I think what ultimately it allowed me for was I ended up having the summer. I did find a job for September. I used that summer to figure out me. Mm-hmm. I had been working 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. for the last 4 years that I had been at this agency. Mm-hmm. And I had lost sight. And I had Kaylee at the time, my daughter, she was 3 when this happened. And I said, you know what? I've been given time. I've been given time to be with her. I've been given time to figure out who am I? What do I want to do? And so I think the short term, how did I get out of it? Is I focused on my team and I focused mm-hmm. on pouring into my team. And I think long-term is I poured into myself to mm-hmm. figure out who am I? What do I want to do? And ultimately it taught me any challenge I can overcome mm-hmm. through using the community that's truly surrounding me each and every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's such an inspiring story. And the fact that you were really a servant leader in that case, that, you know, you took on, like, we're going to help find jobs for these people and organize the job fair. That's, you know, I mean, that was just a shock, obviously, to all of you that they closed that quickly. And I've heard of that happening with another educator I know. And, you know, the fact that that person as well didn't get paid, I think, for 2 months. And, you know, it's just hard to, you know, that go through that, like you said, but yeah, you're able to handle things. And that was pre-COVID. And, you know, with any challenges that arose during COVID, you know, I think when we have these prior circumstances, right, that just makes us more resilient. And that's why I love asking these stories of people on the podcast. So let's shift a little bit and talk about your podcast. So we're both part of the Teach Better podcast network, and your podcast, Define University, I think you have about it's 80 episodes, something like that, up now. And so tell me a little bit about how you got started and kind of the stories that you share on your podcast.
Absolutely. Yes. So yeah, we're getting really close to 80. I think this week comes out 78. So it's been an amazing journey. The podcast actually started in January of 2020. And it really started as a kind of proof to myself that I could do it. Mm-hmm. So I tended to be somebody that would have really what I thought were great ideas, these like solid ideas, but I would never take action on them. Mm-hmm. I was your kind of quintessential, like I have the books filled with ideas and dreams and goals, and yet mm-hmm. I never took action on them. And I was on a podcast in September of 2019. Mm-hmm. I was on Brian Mendler's podcast as the first guest that he ever brought onto his podcast. And after we wrapped up that show, he said, "So when is yours coming out? When's your podcast?" And I was like, "I don't think I could do that." And we had this great conversation about that. And it was the seed though, right? We talk about, you know, seeds are planted all the time and we don't often know when they're going to start to bloom and all of that. And it was really that moment. So the next kind of 4 months, I'm thinking, could I have a podcast? Do I have anything to say? What? Yeah. And I went back and forth, and ultimately I said, enough is enough. Like, it's time to take action. And so I bought the mic. I figured out, you know, tried to figure out what it is. And the first like 10 episodes, they're kind of random because mm-hmm. I really wasn't sure what I wanted to say yet, but I'm so grateful that that didn't stop me. Mm-hmm. You know, I look back and every episode's a little bit different. And mm-hmm. I love that though, because I was getting my taste for it. And I think so often we start something and we assume we're supposed to know exactly how it's going to turn out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it took me until about episode 60, 65 to actually feel like, okay, I think I know what I'm doing now. I think mm-hmm. I know where I see this going. And so what that ultimately looks like is every other week is me giving tips, tricks, my own. Sometimes I walk you through my own reflections. I walk mm-hmm. you through my own journey. But it's just me talking and sharing that insight. And then every other week I do a share your story series. Mm-hmm. So I bring on educators and I basically, the goal is to amplify their voice and share their story. Because I mm-hmm. think as an educator, that is the best tool we have in our toolbox, is to know how our story provides us strength, especially mm-hmm. during times of stress, times of crisis, times of challenge. We can always anchor to our story because no one can ever take it away. Mm-hmm. And so for me, that's really the goal. It's to create this blend of sharing stories, amplifying voices, and also provide you an area that, or you something that, you know, you can listen to each week, every other week, and get motivated, get inspired to do the inner work, because I believe it's the inner work that creates the outer success that we're all looking for. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. And I think when people are following you on social media, so they can listen to your podcast, but you also have posts that you put out daily. So I've connected to you on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And so, and there, you know, sometimes you have like infographics and sometimes it's more just like this inspirational post. So tell me a little bit about just the theme, I guess, behind some of these posts and just kind of how you come about, like what your thoughts are in writing those, because I would not be able to come up with that much material to put out on social media every day to inspire other people. So I'm impressed.
Yeah. Thank you. Yes. It has taken time, right? Mm-hmm. So it has taken me time to kind of figure out what is it that I want to share. And I think what it ultimately boils down to is I love creating content and I love sharing content. But one of the things that was really important to me in creating Define University is that content was going to be available in a multitude of ways. Probably the educator in me that likes to provide information in not just one way, because how I learn might not be the way that you learn. And so it was really important to me to have these different ways. So yes, there is the podcast, but sometimes people don't have time. It's just not of interesting to them to listen. They want to read and see. And that's really where I use social media as that outlet. And, you know, so I have different pillars. So a lot of what I do comes down to values, standards, which then I take those two and I create pillars. Okay. So for content, there's different pillars that you see. Now I don't say, you know, this is my motivating pillar, but one of my pillars is motivation. I want to be someone that if someone's having that day, that they can go read my content and be inspired and be motivated. And so sometimes it's a quote, sometimes it's telling my story, sometimes it's sharing a celebration from one of the clients that I work with. Sometimes it's educationally based, you know, here feeling stressed out in the morning, here's three tips to get your day started on a better foot. And so from a logistical standpoint in the how, I have whiteboards surrounding me and I have those listed. So as I'm sitting here in my office writing content, I'm constantly surrounded by inspiration. So if I'm feeling like stuck, like I don't know what to write, I will look at my board and I will just pick something and I'll go with it. Now, that is to say, I also am part of memberships that I'm provided information. You know, here's some images to think about. And then I tweak them and make them my own. So this is not, I do it all on my own. I certainly, again, realized that that was an area I wanted to grow. And the beauty of social media, of the virtual land we live in now, is if there's an area you want to grow, I guarantee there's somebody that that is their expertise. And so it's not about me needing to be an expert in everything. It's let me find the people that are, and then let me use their, you know, their information, their learning, so that I can create it to, so that it fits the Define You brand.
Yeah. And then you've been doing that for a while. So Define You, I think you said in the pre-chat that came about a couple of years ago. You're about to celebrate your fourth anniversary.
And yeah, have second,
Okay. And so the content, has that been a part of your podcast? Has only been up for about a year and a half, but the content, has that always been a part of Define University?
It has. Yeah. So Define University. So my journey started about 4 years ago at the closure of the agency that I was working at. And it was really a time where I needed to pour into myself. And I spent about 2 years doing that. I was reading the books. I hired my own coach and I was doing what's called the inner work, meaning I wasn't so focused on external actions. I was focused on internal journaling, meditating, figuring out these limiting beliefs, things like that. And then after 2 years, people were starting to notice and people were saying, hey, can you teach me that? And I was like, maybe I can. And Define University was born. And it really did. The content started it started a little bit before that, but I would say, yeah, right about when Define You started is really when the content coming out became a lot more consistent. Became, you know, most of the time it's 5 to 6 times a week, multiple times during the day of trying to just one, showcase how I live the blended lifestyle of here's how I do all that I do, but also aiming to connect with the audience that, you know, is a part of Define You, the Define You community. And then, yeah, it really, it's interesting. If you look through, one of my favorite things to do is to, if you have Instagram specifically, because it's more visual, look through your feed, you know, I'll go all the way to the bottom and I'll see when I started and I'm like, man, I was all over the place, but that was me at the time. I was all over the place, right? I'm trying to figure it out. And as you scroll up, you literally see your evolution. Like, oh yeah, I was really into quotes at this time. Oh, I was, ooh, this is the first time I did a branding photo shoot. That's all you see are those photos, you know? And then you see, you know, the last, you know, month or so, it's like, okay, I'm starting to really get the flow of what works for me. And I think that's what's so important is if you're putting anything out into the world, it's got to come from you. Otherwise you're simply just replicating what somebody else is doing.
Yeah, that's so important because I think, I mean, not necessarily educators that I see on Instagram, but I think just the general population on Instagram, there's so much that people take from others. And that's not always the, it's not always bad, but just like creating content and putting out your specific take on it, right? Or, you know, just the videos that some of these educators were connected to put out, just the 3-minute like inspirational chats, or, you know, sharing out about their workout or things like that. Just so, you know, you feel a little bit of a connection, like, okay, they got in there 4-mile run or whatever it was, right? And then, you know, seeing your feed and seeing like, okay, that's something that I can take with me, you know, throughout the day, right? And I think some of those things are even like, those things are printable that I could just put up in my office sometimes, right? That, you know, that you could take and just reflect back on if it really.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at www.teachbetterpodcastnetwork.com. Now let's get back to the episode.
It speaks to you. So I wanted to talk a little bit about how you planned the Day of Discovery. So that took place about 5 weeks ago on June 12th. And it's kind of how long it took you to get that together. You'd planned this on your own, and then tell the audience about just how many speakers there were and what a little bit of the structure was for the day.
Yeah, absolutely. So as many ideas that happen generally for me, it started just as an idea, you know, could this actually happen? And where that came is I was seeing other educators do just that. I was seeing other educators create day events, and it became kind of that, you know, seed again, that was planted, and could Define You do that? And my answer generally to that question, regardless of what I'm asking, is yes. And it's followed up with, do I want to do that? Mm-hmm. Right. So it's a twofold. Is it possible? Sure. Anything's possible. You know, we will figure it out, but it's the desire. And when I really thought about it, the desire was there. The desire was what was pulling me forward and moving me towards this end goal. And so, and this was back, oh my goodness. Okay. So the event was in June. It was probably about January, probably about 6 months. And I tend to be somebody that, once I have an idea, I want to go with it.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, the journals, the 30-day and the 90-day journal, the 30-day journal had been started, but once I really committed to it, it was committed to and on Amazon in a week.
Wow.
So I tend to do things fast. I tend to go with my gut and what feels right, what feels aligned, and Day of Discovery felt aligned. And so the first step, as crazy as it sounds, is I put it out to the world. I shared in January that I would be having this event. I had picked a day in June strategically because June for me, I'm still teaching. We're still in, I'm still working as a behavior specialist until the end of June here in New York. We go all the way till that last week of June. And I knew I wanted something to look forward to, something to get me still motivated to be the best educator I could be at the end of the school year. So I picked the date and I put it out on social media. I said, coming soon, Day of Discovery, June 12th. I had no idea what it was going to look like, but I had put it out into the world. So I'm not turning back now, right? It's there. So then I do, you know, and luckily I've planned some courses and I've done things like this, not a day, but I've done thing planning before. And so I use backwards planning. So I went to June. I brain dumped everything that I could think of that I needed. And I basically went month by month backwards. Okay, so I need to sell tickets. Okay, so when do I create, or when do I start selling tickets? When do I end? And then that kind of turns into, how am I going to sell them? How am I going to collect money? How am I going to do this? When do I need to create that? So all of that was scheduled. So I use a monthly just calendar, just on a, you know, on a spiral. And I literally go month by month and I just planned it all out. And I stuck to, you know, these, they were arbitrary deadlines, but they at least were deadlines. And then if I was a little bit early or late, it really wasn't a big deal. So the next part was to figure out, what was this day going to look like? What was this day going to be? And everything Define University is the combination of personal and professional. So one of the taglines I use is, you get to live a life of purpose and passion inside and outside of the classroom. And to me, the most important word in that sentence is and. It's, you get to have both. It is not an or. It's not, I need to, I can be all in the classroom or out of the classroom. And as somebody that wears multiple hats, does multiple roles, it is possible. So it was really important to me to provide that outlet. So what it ended up being was we had two keynotes. We had Hans Apple in the morning and Jamie Fowler White in the afternoon. And, you know, they were standalone keynotes. And then during the middle portion of the day was five breakout groups where participants got to pick. Do I want to go to a topic that's more personal growth oriented or professional growth oriented? The beauty was they were all recorded. They are all uploaded into a Kajabi site where you have lifelong access to them whenever you need them. But this way, it really was kind of a create your own conference, if you will, to depending on what it was that you were looking for on that day. So we had in all, we had 12 amazing speakers, including yourself. And I was just really proud of how it came about. I certainly could not have done it without the support of the speakers and of sharing it out and getting the word out. And it's, you know, basically all of that is what I'm going to take as we look to create Day of Discovery number two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it was a great success and I'm just happy to have been a part of it. And, you know, looking at that, like how you structured it, the personal and professional, right? And like when you have that opening keynote and the kind of welcomed us on and said, you know, you can choose if you want to just do the personal part today, right? And then you can choose, you can do the listen to the professional on the recording. And, you know, that's what's cool with the online conferences that you can access them whenever you want. And, you know, you have that also that interaction in the chat with the Zoom conference and things like that. So yeah, no, it went off and, you know, I'm glad that you were able to organize it. Like you said, just having that goal 6 months ahead and then kind of working your way backwards. Like how am I going to set the date for, you know, the proposals to be in for the speakers. And then you provided us with some graphics and those type of things. And, you know, it wasn't like it was all last minute, right? So there's some things that I've seen online that I haven't been a part of, but I've seen some other people share and they've shared their graphics like a few days before the conference actually took place. And I'm like, well, you got yours out. Like, I think it was at least a month beforehand. So and then I was able to, you know, share several times to get interest. So, yeah. So looking forward to that. Probably around the same time next year, you think?
I think so. Yeah. I'm going back and forth whether we're gonna have one in maybe like January.
Okay.
But I think that's, you know, again, with how much of so ultimately how I make decisions is just what feels right. So yeah. In the next month or so, as I'm so I say this summer has been consumed with my admin certification work. Once that has finalized, I'm going to see what I'm feeling. I'm going to see what the community is asking for. And if it's something that is like a yes, oh my goodness, we need this because of this school year, you know, stay on the lookout. We might have one in January. And if not, definitely for sure, there will be one next June.
Mm-hmm. And along the lines of that admin certification, so I asked a little bit in the pre-chat, some of the work that you've been doing with Define University, it's not really, since that's more of your own organization, that doesn't really count, but tell me kind of what you've been using as part of your certification hours, you know, because we have to get internship hours, and then maybe in the future, what you would like to use that certification for based on all your previous experience.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, so everything Define You, I call it outside of school, right? That's my homework, if you will. Mm-hmm. I try really hard not to call it a side hustle because I learned early on, if something's on the side for me, I don't put as much effort into it.
Yeah.
Whereas for me, it's my business. It's something I do outside of work. But in addition to that, I do have a full-time job in a local school district here where I am a behavior specialist. And so about a year and a half ago, my admin team came to me and said, hey, have you ever considered administration? Mm-hmm. And I said, actually I have. So I've been thinking about it for a couple of years now, just hasn't really lined up. It hasn't seemed right. Well, about 2 weeks later, closure hit, the pandemic began. And I said, well, maybe this is my sign. Maybe this is time because I will be home and I will have a little extra time, just taking out commuting alone. I gained an hour each day.
Wow.
So if you look at that, that's about 5 hours a week. I was like, okay, let's make the best use. Mm-hmm. So I started classes And so for my internship, yeah, so here in New York, I had to do 600 hours between building level and district level, because I'm applying for both certifications. So I was able to work with one of our principals for my building level position. And then I was able to work with actually my current boss, one of our coordinators for special education, for my district position.
Okay.
And, you know, the nice part is a lot of what I do as a behavior specialist already aligned to the standards of the administrative program. So okay. My position is not administrative. I'm a teacher on special assignment, but by nature of the position and what I do, so much of it aligned to what it is that, you know, I was required to do from the standards of the internship. But in addition to that, I was able to provide, you know, complete different projects, work on scheduling, work on budgeting, I ended up taking over our preschool special education process, and I was running CSE meetings. I was doing everything for the IEP, and I was just really able to take that from start to finish through the last 6 months, which has been really exciting. And, you know, that's really kind of led me to where I'm at now, which is really looking for that first administrative position, which for me, I'm more called to either the role of an assistant principal at the building level or within the district level, more of that, like a coordinator or, you know, assistant director, somebody within the special education department. Because that really is where my expertise lies over the last 15 years is really special education, behavior, autism, you know, academic, you know, accommodations, things like that with instruction. But I'm really open. I think something that I've learned a long time is I don't ever want to close a door before I even realize it's open. Okay. And so it was really important to me going through this process. And it was interesting because even in class one, we were being asked, what's your ideal role? And I said, it's any role where I can lead. And I know that's a really broad answer, but I felt a year and a half ago, I don't want to close any doors that I didn't even know were open. So it was really important to me to stay open and be open to different ideas. Districts call things differently. So I don't want to say, oh, this is the only role for me, when maybe a role hasn't even been created yet because the need isn't there. So but that's kind of where I'm at. So I'll finish in a couple of weeks and then just kind of see what becomes available and, you know, just continue moving on that journey.
And I think just with your background, there are so many schools that need somebody that really has that expertise in special education, IEPs, you know, behavior. And just, you know, when I moved from the classroom to administration, that whole world opened up for me, right? Because I was an electives teacher most of the time teaching French, and I had a few kids with IEPs and more with 504s, and my own son has an IEP, but just, you know, working on the other side where you're really seeing, you're being part of those meetings and you're having to put together behavior plans and all those type of things. And then working with people like you that are, so your job, you've told me a little bit, you're in 10 different buildings throughout the district. And then do you work with the teacher team sometimes and observe students as well?
Yep. So yeah. So the really cool thing of my job is there's not much I don't do. And so I work across 10 buildings, kindergarten through 12th grade. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm at some buildings more than others. I'm working with, you know, some of our, so we have a continuum of services. Some of our programs I work with more directly than others, but ultimately I'm a consultant type role to the teams within the buildings. Mm-hmm. So within each of our buildings, there is a team. And then it's when that team is kind of stuck or they just need another set of eyes or another opinion or a neutral party to come in and do an observation. I get to be that person. And so each time I'm there, I'm observing, I'm teaching, I'm coaching, and just sharing that expertise I have related to behavior to really, you know, best serve our students so that they are, you know, learning new, you know, replacement behaviors for, you know, just different ways to solve the problems that they're having, but in a more expected and safe manner. So I work mostly with adults, actually. Sometimes I do get to work one-on-one with students or in a small group with students, but a lot of what I do is with teachers directly, providing training or, again, feedback, modeling within their classrooms.
And there's so much that's being published in the field of autism, and that, you know, just regular classroom teachers are learning, but I know, you know, you're since you're working solely kind of with those kiddos, you're able to then provide any new information or any new professional reading and those type of things to those teachers. And, you know, I know not all districts have the budget to have a TOSA like you. And, you know, I hope now as we enter the post-pandemic school year that, you know, since that is part of SEL, because that is tied to behavior, and I've seen how that can go well in classrooms and can go poorly, right, when we have the right support. So, yeah, I'm glad that, you know, you're able to make that difference in your district. And as we wrap up today, out of everything we talked about on the podcast, what's one thing in particular you'd like listeners to remember?
So I think it's just really important to remember that you are the only person that gets to define who you are. Mm-hmm. And I know that sounds simple, but it might sound complex at the same time. And mm-hmm. It really is. It really is that simple. I get to define who I am. However, the process to doing that has some steps to it. Yeah. And so I think it's as we are heading into, you know, a school year, as we're going into, you know, for a lot of us, it's going to be different, you know, and that's, I think there's beauty in that. I think mm-hmm. it's okay to know that when you have that anchor of you define who you mm-hmm. are, nobody mm-hmm. else gets to. And so when you anchor to that, when that truly is what grounds you, I truly believe you're able to work through those challenges because you're using the power that's coming from within who you are as an educator.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so important to remember. And, you know, you're not trying to be somebody else, right? Everybody has their own story, their own path. And mm-hmm. yours has been a little windy like mine. And we've tried different things and gotten different certifications, right? But, you know, we all have that end goal is to use our expertise to serve others and to serve in whatever role, you know, that we may work in. So where can people connect with you and find you online?
Absolutely. So easiest place to go is defineuniversity.com. That's my website. It has all my socials linked from there. And Define University. University is Y-O-U, mm-hmm. University. But I'm pretty active, as we mentioned, on the three major social mm-hmm. media sites. So Twitter is LTitus828. Instagram is LindsayTitusEDU. And then Facebook is just my name. So pretty active on all three. But if you want to kind of connect with me further, send me a message, you can certainly use those or go right to the website.
Great. Well, I hope people will be able to connect with you and just get some of your content and just that will help them. And they'll further be able to see just kind of how you've made that change in your life and are able to help others. Well, thank you so much for being on the Out of the Trenches podcast today. It was a pleasure talking with you.
Thanks so much, Dana.
Check out the show notes on danagoodyear.com to learn more about this guest and links to their social media. Please subscribe, share, rate, and review wherever you download this podcast. Tell your friends and colleagues about it, and if this episode resonates especially with you, be sure to share it out on social media and tag me at Out of Trenches PC.